7.5 The History of the Smile Part 1
The historian and author, Kate Williams, goes in search now of the modern, winning smile.
W.C. Fields' advice might have been to start the day with a smile and get it over with, but the power of the smile should not be underestimated. The broad and confident smile is at the heart of our communication and central to how we interact with people in today's society. However, this hasn't always been the case. As Colin Jones, Professor of History at Queen Mary, University of London, explains.
Since the Renaissance, there's been a tremendous emphasis on forms of politeness and civility, which emphasise control. All that sort of conduct literature emphasises closure of the mouth. Of course, one smiles at all sorts of circumstances. But the crucial thing is to control that smile and to keep the lips firmly shut so that the mouth is closed and the teeth are undisplayed.
Just because they were restrained doesn't mean they didn't have a good time. As a historian, I'm fascinated by how images of our ancestors as straight-faced and serious makes us think that they were dull. From Elizabeth I to Queen Victoria, it is almost as if we think those before us never smiled. Art critic Laura Cumming, author of A Face to the World, has examined smiles in portraiture from across the centuries.
Most smiles that I can think of in portraiture are closed-lipped. It seems to me that that's quite significant. Clearly, teeth are an issue in the medieval era, and they become an issue very strongly with the arrival of sugar. And in Flemish art, in which there are lots of smiling portraits, there's a suggestion that the open-mouthed smile is indicating speech and sometimes indicating age. There are wonderful paintings, Lucas Cranach and so on, where the sitter is opening their mouth to show either rather beautiful, flashy white teeth, in which case they're showing their teeth off, or they're showing the crumbling teeth like a faltering, falling skyline. Most smiles closed.
Professor Colin Jones feels there's one portrait in particular that has great significance in the history of the toothy smile we know today. Self-portrait in a turban with her child by the French court painter Elizabeth Louise Vigier-Lebrun, painted in 1786 and first shown a year later at the Louvre, where it still remains.
It really crystallises the change, which has probably been going on in the previous years, about the meaning of the smile with an open mouth showing teeth is. She's sitting in a very sort of casual way with her rather beautiful child on her lap, looking directly at the viewer with a very charming smile, and she's showing white teeth. It provokes quite a storm. There are people who write in about this and say, this is quite radical, it's quite disgraceful that she's showing herself in this way. By focusing on the smile, I think we've definitely got something which is changing. It's something which is a very significant moment, I think, in the representation of the smile in Western art. But it also is flagging up a change in the way that people think about the relationship between their smile and their basic identity.
Vigier-Lebrun is not the first by any means. What she is, however, is the first to make a real style of it.
What is also interesting about this smile is that it's flagging up Madame Vigier-Lebrun is a woman who can afford a dentist. She could act as almost like an advertisement for some of these Parisian dentists who are seen as Europe's greatest practitioners in the 18th century, or for the tooth powders or pastes and toothbrushes, which are emerging precisely at this time.